Before we begin tonight, I wanted to make like an observation, like an Andy Rooney sort of observation. And this is a good time to do it too, because it's a friendly show. It's a laid back sort of atmosphere, because we have super producer Carl here as usual, and our friend and comrade Jessica Rain. But what I noticed the last couple of weeks is that some of the biggest chumps and meatheads and goobers in the Democratic Party are finally being like, hey, maybe stop starving people. It's bad. So, I mean, that's good, I guess. But when you take a picture with Netanyahu on one day and then 2 weeks later, you're like, hey, when did this famine start? Yeah, so we see you. And I think it's important to note that, because last week, some of my friends and comrades went and did another action at Chris Coons' house. Now, it brings me no pleasure to say this, but I live within basically a five-minute walk to all three of our federal representatives. I could back in 82, I could probably throw a ball over their roofs, but obviously I can't anymore. But I just wanted to make very clear that Chris Coons, Sarah McBride, and Lisa Blunt Rochester are on the fucking hook. They have blood on their hands about genocide and now this starvation. And I will not forget about it. I said something to Sarah McBride when she was sitting in here months ago. Now the tide's starting to turn, and you're going to see slowly the fact that people are not going to have a good time if they don't start acting. And people are going to pretend like, well, something changed just now, just like in the last couple of weeks. Something changed. Like the details somehow, it wasn't what we all said, but now somehow it is what we all said, but it just happened. Like we were wrong before, but now we're right. Well, guess what? We're not fucking buying it. No dice. We're going to remember you little scumbags for what you did, for the bombs, for the mass graves that are going to come up. Oh, you know, they had a mass grave already, one when they bombed the ambulance. They just happened to stumble upon it because somebody's phone was still on. How many mass graves do you think they're going to find? And hospitals and kids with bullets in their head and people who died of starvation in the street. We will remember who took the AIPAC money, and you're all a bunch of little freaks, genocidal freaks. Okay, I got that off my chest.
Yeah. Well, and you're right, because they can say whatever, but what are they going to actually do? This is what they seem to think. It's just like, oh, you want us to say that? Okay, I can say it. It's like, okay, it's like the Kamala, the ceasefire thing. She said ceasefire. What else do you want?
Yeah,
well, no, it's not just saying it. We can say it because we don't have any power to do anything. You guys have power to actually change things, and that's what actually we're asking for.
You know, I do feel like maybe it's the Mamdani effect, where it's like, this guy is incredibly popular. He's doing the thing that we all said we wanted to do, but we didn't know how to do it. But it's also dawning on people like, oh, people like it actually because of what he's saying too, not just the way he's saying it. And so it's like, when he says that he will have Netanyahu arrested if he comes to New York as mayor, you can tell that he means it. He's not fucking around. And I think people are starting to realize the tide is turning. So even though they'll start to say stuff, and then now there's this big discussion between offensive and defensive weapons. AOC should fucking jump off the bridge. Bernie hasn't been any good at this either. Like, there's no fucking difference. Stop with the equivocating. We don't need equivocations. We don't need to fucking make a distinction between, oh, the Iron Dome is one thing and this missile is this thing, but this bullet's something else. No dice. It's over. We have a genocidal, lunatic, rogue state. We got to be done with that today. And look, as Jess said, we know it's going to be all words, even if you get the courage up to like talk to sort of condemn, you know, starving people in the street. We know. So, you know, when we see you at the Acme or the Wegmans or the Walgreens, see you at Rockford, see you at the flower market, at the thing, anytime you are seen in public, you're going to be reminded that a genocide not only happened on your watch, but happened as you were posting, "I stand with Israel." How fucking gross. From the shadow of Rockford Tower, where they have the flower market, behind enemy lines, because I live so close to these degenerate pigs, in the belly of the Delaware Way beast, and boy, is it a beast. I'm Rob, this is the Highlands Bunker Podcast, hello. We've been in the paper, we're getting in the paper now, people are talking about the Highlands Bunker Podcast, it's crazy. Jess, hello, thank you for joining. Carl, I'm glad for everything you're doing. You're low-key really pulling all kinds of weight. You're carrying the team right now. I'm going to continue to say it so people understand. So thank you for that. Two big announcements before we start. Number one, I mentioned it at the patrons-only episode, I think, but I'm going to mention it now. Next Thursday, the 7th of August, at the Dover Library at 5:30 in the evening, we're going to have a big town hall about police reform in Delaware. It's the second anniversary of the signing of the bullshit bills, 205 and 206. We have something fun in the call that'll be going out next week, and then we'll be doing this town hall. There'll be a panel discussion. There'll be some networking and some like outreach. We've already, as you guys know, have been doing outreach in Dover. This will be sort of part of that as well. If you're in the area and you're interested in police reform, or you just want to see, you know, the place where we're getting in the most trouble right now, come out to the Dover Library Thursday evening. Second thing, Delaware Call Fall Classic, baseball, 19th century baseball, bar, barbecue, all of that in York Lynn. It's going to be the 27th of September on a Saturday. Tickets will go on sale next week. So as you're hearing this on a Friday or a Saturday, they'll be going on sale Monday the, whatever it is, 4th, I think. So that will be super. Come out and join us at the baseball. We might have more important guests. I don't know. We're not gonna talk about it. Just come out anyway. You don't have to see important guests. Important guest is me. You come see me. I'm the fucking important guest. So, we did start the show last week with a reading. Chance did a reading of a story about a data center in Georgia. I think that was in the New York Times last month. And we did that because Bill did say that that you were interested in going to this town hall they were having in Delaware City.
Yes, that's why I made him stay home with our baby.
Yes, which again.
And skip the Highlands Bunker.
Look, even though we're in the paper, some things still come first.
Baby.
I could tell just by the fact that you were trekking down to Delaware City for this, that, you know, you had something in mind. And then the next day, on many, many channels of the internet, many local platforms, mentioned that there was a young lady who, I didn't catch their name, but they asked some really pointed questions. They didn't have answers for them, asked these really clear, concise sort of queries and added context to the conversation in many different platforms. And then couple minutes go by, and then you see that young lady was Jessica Rain. And I thought to myself,
shocking.
That's Ev's dad. That's Ev's mom. I can't believe it. So, yeah, it was funny. I did not know a lot about it, but can you just give some background about what the proposal is and why you were motivated to go down?
Sure. Can I start by asking when I'm not a young lady anymore?
Look, I mean, I don't think there's a hard and fast rule.
No, I ran for office at 35 and I was too young.
Ev's mom.
I hit 40. I'm still a young lady. I mean, well, I'm glad the skincare routine is working.
I mean, on Delaware Liberal, I think it's 70
fair,
is the cutoff.
So. All right. I got a little ways to go. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, why did I go to this? Because there is a plan to put what is called a giga center. A 1.2 gigawatt data center in Delaware City. on land that is not directly owned, but maybe owned by an LLC that's owned by the company that runs the refinery. There it is. It's a, you know, an LLC with a random name, but it's been rumored to be connected to whatever that company's name is, PBF Energy. So right there, that's hits a lot of things for me. Ultimately, you kind of talk about that story in Georgia and of what's happening around these massive data centers. And the reality is that they are draining people's water supply. They are draining people's electric supply. They're driving up people's electric rates. In some cases, they are admitting noxious gas, noise. They are basically horrible neighbors that come in, suck up a lot of resources, and would you believe it, make millions and billions of dollars for people who already have millions and billions of dollars. At the beginning of the town hall, I'll say Senator Poore, I think, tried to do either a gotcha or maybe it was news to her. She kind of started the in front of this room of 200 people that have decided to show up to talk about this data center by being like, well, do you guys already know that there's data centers in Delaware? And everyone raises their hand and she's like, oh, I didn't know that many people would know that. And I think what, again, people fail to realize is that this is not just any data center. It would be the second largest one in the country. So when you're talking about that one in Georgia, it would be larger than that. It would be, I think the only one bigger than would be is in Nevada. It would cover, I think, God, I'm going to try to do this, 600 million acres? I might be messing that up. It's massive. It's multiple stories, and it's actually on two parcels. And that's why there's potentially an opportunity to get county council involved here to potentially prevent this from happening.
Yeah, that was my first question. Is the first thing I ran into is this idea of like, okay, where's the deal sit? Is it in some like public-private committee? Does the county need to step in? Because I wasn't sure why the representative and the senator from that area were the catalyst to this discussion.
Yeah.
Maybe that is appropriate. I don't know because I'm not familiar with like, where is the negotiation taking place? Where is it and who needs to sign off on it?
So it is, I think the reason that there was such a quick response to it is because they put together, you know, what everyone keeps calling a sketch plan, which is the initial idea of here's what we want to do. Here's what it would look like. We do an initial views of how it impact the kind of the land that it's on. And what they were trying to do is run it through what's called the Jobs Now program, which is
something I know. I don't like the sound of it. I mean, that's as soon as you said that, I can see in your eyes. I can't even see, but I sense the aura.
Well,
I'm like, that sounds bad.
It's like, yeah, what even is that? But it's a way to get accelerated approvals. And what I think triggered so many people is the fact that they asked for that and then they were in the press, they being this Starwood Digital Ventures, we can talk about maybe what that is, but this is the company that wants to build the data center. They were in the press saying, we're going to break down ground next summer. Like, we're moving on this. And everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're breaking ground. And the reason they maybe thought that is because they expected to get this expedited approval through this Jobs Now program, which I guess theoretically expedites approvals on things that you want from the county or whatever
because
government
jobs.
Body because it brings jobs, right?
There's going to be people sweeping up.
I will say that is like something that wasn't being addressed and it wasn't being addressed because everyone at the town hall kept being like, this is a long ways off. We are just at the beginning. And then finally, Councilman Kaneko was like, just to address it, they are not getting expedited approvals. Now, I don't know that's his decision, but he said...
Okay, way to
that,
you know, hey, Kevin, way to go.
He's
step
at
up,
least
buddy.
Stuck
over,
his neck
over
out
your
on there,
dead
right?
body.
So what everyone is reacting to is these sketch plans that they put forward. What it is, like I said, it's two parcels. One currently right now is already zoned heavy industrial. They could put a data center there right now. Nothing we can do about it. That would be half the size because it's two parcels.
And they are split about 50-50.
Yeah, so. About. What they need is approval to change the other parcel from, I think it's zone suburban, and it needs to move to either industrial or heavy industrial. if they, like I said, if they get both of those, that becomes the second largest data center in the country. If it's only one of them, it's still extremely large, but it's a little more quote unquote normal sized for what gets built now, predominantly because of the processing power that's necessary to run fucking AI image generation.
So it sounds like another bullshit. It sounds like maybe there's not really an appetite to allow for like the fast track.
Sounds like it.
Because my other sort of problem with it is, and it's like ChatGPT shit. You may have heard us talk about it. Like when we talk about like what the Meyer administration is talking about, it's like we gotta make sure that there's no regulation on this emerging technology because we need to be able to do whatever we want. Because that's a good idea.
Yeah.
The thing that we don't know how it really works and what the ramifications
of it are. And the impact it has on
it. That's what you do not want to regulate.
Right.
That don't regulate.
Right.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
That's an entrepreneurial grind set idea.
Yeah.
That is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And the second thing is just this general, you know, hey, it's tech. Hey, it's jobs. Hey, it's, you know, so it's like this is some goober shit that Meyer would also might get into if we don't get in his ass a little bit about it. Now, again, I don't know who was going to approve this Job Corps fast track or like I don't know who's supposed to review and sign the deal to get this other parcel heavy industrial,
right?
Like I don't know who, what buttons to push, but
so and that's kind of what I wanted to do as a next step, which honestly I haven't candidly. People are asking me, what do we do?
And now you're the leader. When you do that, you now lead everybody.
Now I have responsibilities. I will say, if you're listening to this and you asked me, what do we do? It's coming. But yeah, I think the first thing is, to your point, I don't even really know who runs this Jobs Now program. It was the first thing I heard of. So I need to figure out who the hell we have to harass about that to make sure, like Kevin said, that they don't get fast track approvals. Then it becomes a county council thing of whether they approve the zoning change. So we can also go after them to say, we don't want you to approve this zoning change. What I need to figure out, and I'm not a county council head, and maybe we had this as I go to Jordan on this, but if anybody remembers who maybe was involved when Salesiana wanted the variance for the massive lights that they put up, and a bunch of people showed up to city council meeting to be like, don't let them do this. This is ridiculous. They're bad neighbors. And the reality is that Salesianum had filed the paperwork properly, and that's all it really took. And I think that's what I need to understand about the zoning thing, is what are the actual ways that they get the zoning change? What do they have to do to actually get the zoning change is what we need to figure out next. Because what we can't do is show up for public comment and just tell the council we don't want them to do it if it doesn't matter what the public wants. You know what I mean? Like, if it's literally just they filed the paperwork properly, then it's a different conversation, and maybe it's getting lawyers involved to challenge the paperwork, or, you know, like maybe it becomes more of a bureaucratic thing than a we don't want this here in our backyard thing. So that's the next thing I want to figure out, because I think we really do need to come at it the right way. Like going to a public comment in a town hall and yelling at the CEO of this like digital ventures company is fun. And yes, it shows that there's a lot of public sentiment that is, if not fully against this, at least very much questioning what it would mean. But that might not be what matters in terms of getting zoning approval. So I think that is the next thing to figure out. And I wish I had an answer, but I, you know, haven't done that homework just yet, but I'm going to, and I will share that.
I wonder also what the, because there's got to be some, even if a parcel is zoned heavy industrial, I'm guessing that there's some, like, you can't necessarily put like a coal burning power plant there, or a nuclear reactor, or, you know, something that is, you know, there must be some other sort of something involved to say we don't want this here. Also, it shouldn't be here, even though it's zoned maybe properly. Because, for example, all of this information is coming out now about this. Oh, many data centers. It just happened to be the one in Georgia that's smaller than this one. But people are going to need to start assessing, like, you know, it might look okay on paper, but then when everybody's, when it's a huge energy suck and no one can get electricity and clean water,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. How many jobs do you want to trade for clean water?
Right.
Is how many? I mean, is there an algorithm for that?
Yeah, it's not 200, half of which start at $40,000. That is certainly not the number.
Is that what they're saying? 200?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another really great thing. It's okay. Like, it depends on whether you looked at their sketch plan that they submitted, whether you looked at the numbers that they then put in the town hall presentation, or whether you actually look at like what it takes to run a data center. But their number in their original sketch plan was 120 jobs. Almost 50% of which were security and janitorial jobs that they had listed at the low end, starting at $40,000. Now, I kind of said this in the comments, they don't hire any of these people. They're not bringing any jobs because they will build a data center and they will lease it to someone or sell it to someone, and then someone else needs to operate it. Like, they don't manage the data center.
Yeah, and then they'll just contract out to like, people paying $15 an hour to clean the place.
Exactly.
And they'll be like, oh, they hire four people.
Those aren't jobs that, like, you're not going to work for Starwood Digital Ventures. Like, you're going to your point, work for a janitorial service or a security service, and you're going to make whatever those people decide to pay you. And but they came with no problem presenting jobs on the low end below a living wage in our state and told us that, aren't you happy that a job creator is coming?
Yeah, and just, you know, maybe if you guys know an actuary or a mathematician, we can find out how many jobs equal, like, clean water.
Life.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, yeah. I mean, read the article again or right. do some, just look at what the impact of this stuff is and say, you know, do 5 or 10, you know, contracted Pinkerton security guards or whatever. Is that... Right. Is that
and
good enough?
And the reality
enough
is they don't know. Like, they don't have answers because they don't know. Because, like I said, this is an abnormal data center. This is not normal. So if you take the energy usage for data centers, even for the last 5 years, it is going to be dramatically different in the next 5 years. Because the size of them, the amount of computing they're doing, the amount of energy that it takes to run a stupid AI search, to generate a stupid AI image. Like, I don't think people truly grasp that level of resources that go into every single one of those little times you ask ChatGPT to iterate on something. And so any numbers that we have cannot even be used to tell us what are the resource demands that this will drive in the future. And to plug that into the grid and just say, yeah, we're going to buy energy on the open market and we're going to be in competition with all of your residents, or like, that's just an insane choice to make. Because you have no idea what the impact of it will actually be. And they just keep saying, typically we see this, typically we see that. But you haven't built a data center like this. And every time they have popped up, they have caused the negative externalities of people not having drinking water.
Yeah, it's not great. This is probably a good segue into our next topic, because one of the other reasons they probably want to do this and then sell it or lease it to a company to run and then bring in contractors to do the menial jobs is because the taxes on these are extremely low now. I don't know if you saw what Amazon's. Amazon got a huge tax break, which is just what Jeff Bezos needed at the Boxwood Road. Mm-hmm. We used to call it a plant. I don't think we can call it that anymore.
No.
It's just like a big building with just robots in it now. But yeah, so the big kerfuffle now is the tax reassessments. So I've fielded, I guess because I am somebody who talks into a microphone and rants. I do have a gray beard. So all of these things means a lot of people call me to rant about this stuff. So I've taken a few calls. My one refrain has always been, we've been stealing money for 30 years. We haven't been paying our fair share.
Correct.
You know, I can't help that, you know, you've paid nothing and been babied for 30 years, but, you know, the house that you bought in 1985 for $20,000 now is worth $800,000. And so you got to pay because you've ripped us off. And I'm in the same boat. My taxes went up. But I didn't care because I understand what's happening. The two downsides are, I did not know that all the corporate taxes actually went down. They got some kind of break through the, I guess, through the calculation. I don't know.
Yeah.
And there are some stories that there are like properties, same square footage of homes, like built in the same year in the same neighborhood, which is pretty, pretty normal for like the first generation suburbs, like out in Ellesmere, Roselle, Brookmont Terrace, all these places, that these similar homes were now getting like larger, paying way different amounts, maybe, you know, $100 a month more, say $1,000 a year more, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's a problem, and I feel like, aren't they like sort of showing their work in some fashion? I said that to somebody. I said, aren't they showing their work? He said, it's AI slop data. And I'm like, I don't know if you're using that right. I'm not sure if you're using that. Maybe they did use AI. Maybe the company, the firm that was hired uses AI. I don't
Sure, because don't, every company is, particularly if you're a publicly traded company, is mandated to use AI.
I don't know. I don't know. But what is your take on it? How is it different from mine in any way? What else?
Where do you
what
want to start? Because there's a lot of layers here. I mean, in general, I agree with you. I think the reality is that there have been people who have been paying too much for 30 years. There have been people who have been paying too little for 30 years when it comes to particularly residential, right? I think that we look at the neighborhoods that you and I kind of live in, and they're in the city. Now, yours was probably a little more desirable than mine in 1983, just because of the... I don't know, the stories that come along with the neighborhoods that are good and the ones that are bad and what you're near and where the lines are.
My grandmother grew up here and she lived here from 1921 on, and she always called them sections. She's like, yes. That's a good section.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a bad
right?
section.
Exactly. But everyone's got these ideas of what's good, what's bad, right? And I think I was not surprised to see dramatic increases in the residential neighborhoods in the city of Wilmington in particular when you think about what the context of the city of Wilmington was in 1983. It's not a place people wanted to live. There was people running to the suburbs. There was lots of development happening. We were how many years removed from National Guard occupation? Not that many. Like, it's not surprising to me that the values of homes in 1983 would be lower than they are now, not just in real dollars, but in actual, like, assessment of what the home is
not
worth,
just not
right?
just inflation adjusted
right but. Not just $55,000 now is X dollars now. No, like literally it's more desirable to live in these neighborhoods for people, and that is driving up the assessment. The housing market over the course of the last 40 years has I don't 10 times, like, it's not surprising that this would happen, that the housing values would go up. So that to me was not surprising. I think our school taxes doubling was surprising, but when you double your school taxes and you're starting from basically nothing, it's, to your point, like $100 more a month. Now, I know some people can't handle that. We're not on a fixed income. There's reasons that that's not tenable for people, but it was so low. To double something so low, it's
You started at zero. Like, yeah. I just continue to stress to people, we didn't pay anything.
Right.
I mean, we would talk about this.
So I owe Red Clay basically another $1,500 or whatever every year for the 14 years I lived in my house, and I never gave it to them. And now I'm going to catch up and give it to them, right? So, but part of the problem there, too, is, I feel like I'm running all over, but it's exactly what you're saying about the commercial rates. And this, what the county did is change the rates for residents versus commercial to keep more parity because commercial values dropped. What the schools can't do is that. So the schools can't change the rate. So when your commercial values drop, more of the burden ends up on your residential values. And that's why we are seeing doubling of school taxes. Now, what they should do in this special session they're going to hold in the state legislature and do nothing else is just change that and allow the school districts to set separate rates for residential and commercial. Yeah. And they shouldn't do anything else that anyone's talking
again,
about.
Again, this comes down to the stupid, like, when people talk about, like, how the government runs and the deficit and all that. That's all stupid. And this is stupid, too, because for people, for working people that have one home and live in one home, even if it's an expensive home, they have, you know, they're running their household. Amazon, whether the price of that plot of land over there and everything that's on it, you know, fluctuates up and down, they're running so many goddamn financial schemes through so many places. That does not impact. They're still making record profits. So yeah. They're like, you know, you look at somebody who owns a house like me, it's like the biggest asset you have.
Right.
It's a big, that's really all you have other than maybe money you put away. That's not the same. So that value means a lot to my net worth, but the value of the Boxwood Road plot of land is a fly on the ass of Jeff Bezos's, wife or whatever. Like it's nothing.
Right.
And so the idea that they don't get to bear the increase the way that now the residential properties do is kind of not right.
But that's something we could fix, and that's what I think frustrated.
Do you think that the legislators are keen to fix it? I mean, they're doing the special session.
I mean, they're doing a special session, and I think to the point, I think that's the only thing that they should be talking about. The one that they absolutely should not do is the Hensley and maybe Keira Hoffner's involved in this too, like the doing it 10 years instead of 5 years in the next assessment. So we need by law to do this every 5 years now. The reason you don't want to push this to 10 years, and if he's listening, I hope like he hears this part, or maybe Mike Smith will listen and he can tell him, is because we did this assessment in 2023, 2024. Commercial real estate values were at the lowest point that they were at since the Great Recession when we did this assessment. That sucks. It's just a matter of timing. The markets were bad. Interest rates were bad. Everyone's working from home still. It was a bad time. If you wait another 10 years, these values are locked in for 10 years. If you do it in 5 years, maybe your commercial values go up again. And maybe you get some of that tax base back.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is you have to make it as – you have to close the gap as much as possible to make sure that you cover those market fluctuations. And
right.
All that. Otherwise,
and they're going to fluctuate a lot more. Commercial market's going to fluctuate a lot more than the residential market. So you need to capture it as much as you can.
That's right.
Now, granted, maybe you get unlucky, and some years it's down.
I mean, I'm not surprised to hear, and we can double check this, but Hensley Hoffner.
I mean,
there's two.
Yeah, hold on. Maybe I'm being. I thought someone said.
Well,
Kira was involved. I know Hensley's involved.
I mean, they both stink, so that's not surprising.
Maybe Carl can check me.
Who knows?
But they should go back and allow the schools to set different tax rates for residential and commercial to get the balance back into the ratio that it was. Because that's what's happened, is it's flipped now. It used to be commercial carried more of the burden of school taxes than residential, and now it's not that case. Now the residential values have gone up so much, commercial values did not, that residential homeowners are carrying more of the school tax burden. And I hate calling taxes burden, but whatever. Because the schools still need to raise the money that they need to function. And that's the way that they were able to make the math work.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see, because I know, like, We always joke about it, but and I mean it's a funny joke and it's true. Like most of these people they're not into working. You know, they got 6 months off. You know, they're.
I'm also not into working.
I mean, to be honest, they're right about that.
Yes.
They're right about that, but they're going to be particularly grumpy about having
going
to come
back
in
August. Yeah,
especially August. It would be one thing if it was the fall, you know, and you had to go back like in October. But
well, they're
August,
saying they want to do one day. They say they want to do one day. So what can you get done in a day?
Nah, I mean, it really depends, I guess. I assume that they're going to go into it already sort of knowing what they want to do.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is what we're doing, you know, get everybody. And if there's some agreement just to make it like, just to tweak it a little bit, like you said, just make sure the school districts can re sort of shuffle the deck a little bit based on the real differences between a corporate property and a personal property. Because the corporate property is making them money. Even though the value goes down,
right,
it's generating revenue.
Yes.
Where like a house, yeah, okay, my house went up hundreds of thousands of dollars in 15 years. But like,
right,
I'm not really I'm not realizing those gains, you know,
not yet.
I'm not realizing those gains as revenue, where Amazon is making money hand over fist, even though the plot of land's gone down 40% in the last 3 years.
Right.
or whatever.
Right.
Or in 2034. Whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. Right, after the COVID.
Yes.
So it's not, you know, it makes sense to do that. It actually would just make sense to just tax them more. Be like, oh, you know, exactly. What? We're giving you a surcharge. If your revenues are over X, give them a fucking surcharge. Yeah.
I mean, and I think that's the thing that can be discussed. I think what's frustrating, and you kind of mentioned this, when there's these differences that people are like, well, why is this house and this house that looks so similar slightly different or whatever? But I feel like that, I don't know. There's a calculus that happens here that none of us know, right? This is not our work. And I feel what I've been very frustrated by is people just trying to cherry pick these things and just do the I'm just asking questions thing. And it's like, yeah, but you're asking questions with like no analysis. You're just pulling out things and you're being like, how could this shitty neighborhood have an expensive property when this nice neighborhood has something less? And it's just like, what are you basing this on? Like your judgment on whether something should be a worth value in a quote unquote worse neighborhood than a quote unquote better one?
That's a classic. Like, that's a classic Newcastle count. Well, I mean, it's classic behavior. It's like, that's a bad section. I can't believe there's a valuable home in that bad section.
Exactly. And it's like very frustrating. And it's so strange to me because it's like really turning home. The idea of home values was, as people typically think about them, on its side. Like we've come and we've said, there are people acting like things having a higher value is a burden. And I understand, yes, taxes. But in most cases, you want the value of your home to go up. Most cases, you want the value of your asset to go up. All of these people would be celebrating that if their Redfin estimate was higher. But like, because it actually has an impact on your taxes, now suddenly the idea of your home value increasing is a problem. And it's very strange that there's this line about like it almost being inequitable and done along, people are trying to make this thing that it's as if it's been done along racial lines or income lines to put more value, higher assessments in places that are more minority or poorer. And I don't understand why why that would be people's attitude.
I can't control what you think. You, whatever goes on in your smooth head, that's on you. But if you are putting stuff like that on the internet, that there's some kind of conspiracy to overvalue homes in, we'll just say, black neighborhoods, because you're also a racist. You got to not put that on the internet, bro.
Because you have to do some research and bring some evidence, some sort of analysis that shows like, it is like
that's
actually
a bad section. How can they have a valuable home?
That's how it feels when you see it, and it's in its homes, it's commercial, and it's just kind of like, well, where are you basing this on? Just your feeling that something shouldn't be worth that in that place, or compared to what it's worth, something else is worth somewhere else. Like it's just I'm not the expert in this. Neither are the people that are making these like claims, and I'm really struggling with this. This idea that there is some sort of conspiracy behind it. And if that is the case, or if people believe it to be the case, I would love for them to do some analysis and bring that forward, make a law, like whatever, go after it, but don't just keep doing this. Like,
well, this is the classic, like everybody like, just makes it up now. Right. Oh, conspiracy theory. Okay. Well, how?
Right.
Like, okay,
you're
don't
just asking
understand
questions, the, here's
maybe
the potential
you don't understand
answers.
The calculation.
Exactly. Well, and that's why, a reality yeah, because there were people on, you know, there was, frankly, conversations about numbers in the report from my good neighbor, James Spadola, and other people on city council, like being like, well, these numbers are not within the normal range. So that means Tyler did it wrong. And it's like, you could just dig into it. And I can tell you why those numbers are not within the normal range. You want to know why? Because the zones that they were looking at were very disparate. It was like Green Hill Ave. What would that look like? Very expensive homes. Less expensive homes, very, very wide swaths of value. And that's why the numbers show a bigger deviation. That's all it means. It doesn't mean it wasn't done properly. It just means there's a wider deviation than normal in this area. But the idea that we can act like we know better than this without getting some actual outside analysis is really frustrating. And the problem is no one's going to pay to do that. Like, it's going to take millions of dollars to then have another person come in and say, like, did they do this properly? And you're going to need to sue again to get that done. That's the only way it's going to get done. I don't know, like, who's going to just voluntarily be like, you know what, you're right, should check.
Carl, get Lydia York on the line.
I mean, maybe.
We need a full audit. We need full audit. I can tell you that that was my first reaction to some of this stuff is like, yeah, you probably don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what they came, they evaluated the home. I remember they sent something to me to say what the value was, and I saw it, and I was like, we're going to get an increase. Like, but I'm like, I looked at it, I'm like, well, that's nice. The house is worth X. And actually, a couple homes on the street have sold recently for some nice amounts.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, my assets.
Exactly. You want the value when it's when you're on the market.
Yeah. I mean, I got to be near the bus stop. I can't drive anymore. So it's like, I'm not realizing any of this gains. It's just fun to look at.
Right. But you realize it takes money to maintain your community. And that's what your taxes go to.
Yeah. And so I didn't. And because I also knew that we paid nothing for decades.
We still are paying nothing. I'm sorry.
I know,
half
a peanut.
Like,
yeah, it's like
compared
we paid peanuts
to anywhere else around us.
I know. And I know that's not
an easy argument for some people to hear, but like the reality is it is still incredibly cheap to live here. Almost too cheap.
Yeah, like, it's almost bad. It's wrong.
It's almost bad.
Yeah.
Because we have people so convinced they should never pay taxes.
And you mentioned it, and I have to agree with you because this was my sort of – this is my reaction even after thinking about it. If you're paying, you know, $100 more in taxes a month than your neighbor, who gives a shit? Like I know that for some people it's going to be difficult to come up with that money now, and things are going to have to work out. Maybe there is some sort of appeals process or some other thing. But the fact of the matter is that we're not talking about. I haven't seen anything that seems completely outrageous to me. Maybe because I'm not racist or I don't speak on things that I don't really understand. Right. People think that I do, but I actually really don't. Like, I'm not going to look at a thing and be like, this number and this number are too big. Why are the, like, I don't know.
Right.
Like, I don't know what
but
goes
that's
into,
what I think I is so frustrating. It's like, why does, there are some people acting like they know.
Yeah,
and it's just like, you really don't. If you have questions, there are ways to get them answered. If you own a property and you think it's wrong, there is a process for appealing it. It is individual, like people are able to do that.
Yeah, and some of the quote unquote, you know, anomalies that people are saying can either be chalked up to, again, just making dumb assumptions, not knowing what you're looking at, or really just trying to look at something that's different from something near it to make a point about a conspiracy or something.
Right.
I understand that this is not going to go away. They're going to have the special session and you know, people are going to freak out about it because that's the thing too, is the problem is these people have been coddled and been told like, this is the tax-free state. There's no sales tax, and you pay a nickel for your property tax. And why? But then you can take that savings and send your kid to Tatnall. Everybody's been sort of trained like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like training a dog. You got to get it to do. You're like, stop doing that shit. Just because you're a puppy and you're a baby, you're gonna do this. But we don't have to play along with it.
Yeah, and I don't deny it's hard to stomach a doubling of your school taxes. From 1 year to the next. Like,
I don't like it. It's just what it is. I mean,
but had it increased over the last course of the 40 years to that number, you would have never noticed and you would still be paying that number, right?
And these are the people who do notice, as we said before. And these are the people who were happy to notice their property increasing in value.
Right.
When a home on their street sells, or
right.
a home on their neighborhood sells,
right.
or they look and see their
name. When it means that they will make more money for themselves versus they owe more money to their community.
Yeah, I paid $69,000 for this in 1988, and now it's worth, you know, $700,000. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that has...
Yeah.
There's other things in at play here. So it's like, you know, I think there's real questions.
Like, okay, to be fair, like I said, our school taxes doubled. We have a mortgage on our house. We pay our taxes through an escrow account. that account is not going to have enough money. I don't know what that means is going to happen when our tax bill is due in September or whenever. Like, I assume Wells Fargo is going to send me a bill.
Wells Fargo too. Right? So I can tell you exactly what's
going to happen. Like, they're going to send me a bill. It's going to be like a shortage in your escrow, like it often happens, but it's going to be a much larger one. And you can add it over the thing. Right. But it's going to be another thing where people feel that pain in that moment because it's going to be a much bigger shortage than maybe you see because you're in. Your homeowner's insurance goes up by $100 and they need to cover that, right? Like, you're gonna have to find a lump sum of money, and that fucking sucks. And that is the problem that was created by not doing this for 40 years. Like, don't get mad at the assessment. Get mad at the fact that your fucking state and county were unwilling to do this over the course of the entire time you've lived
here. Correct. The fault of this lies on the cowards and sneaks that didn't want to do this, that actually not only didn't want to do it, you know, it was a selling point. Like, hey, the longer we don't do this, you don't have to pay anything.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean,
and it saves money, right? We don't want to spend the millions of dollars on reassessment. That would be a waste of money. Well, not when it finds you more money. Yeah. It should be a revenue-raising activity.
People do not, they're not really looking at this that great. We got a lot of people who want to make a lot of assumptions. I was unaware of the conspiratorial part until you just said it.
Yeah.
Like, people were like, oh, they're...
No, it's a lot of commentary. It's like this idea. I mean, I think even in the... I don't want to attribute it to the wrong media source, but when I was reading a news article about the special session, there were comments in there being like, we need to look at whether this was done equitably. And I just... I don't know.
I don't know.
I just don't know where people are getting that from. And it's like, it's very, again, I think that's like dangerous sort of rhetoric to go around and undermine the validity of reassessment.
Yeah, it just puts everything into like this shell of like, they're trying to screw you. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Again, we talk about this all the time. You've diagnosed something that like, the fact that my taxes went doubled, like, something's up. Yeah, what's up is what you just said. Yeah, Tom Gordon.
Yeah, Chris, cowards in Chris, the government, Chris unwilling Coons, to like, Dennis do Greenhouse, what was necessary
every
for my
other,
entire life.
Every other governor and county executive never did shit. And so if there's anybody to blame Tom Gordon, Dennis Greenhouse, and Chris Coons. Blame Chris Coons for everything.
Yeah. You're rarely going to be wrong on that.
You're rarely going to be wrong because that guy stinks.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. We've been doing this this bonus, little bonus ep, little bonus piece at the end. Can you stay another 20 minutes and do a bonus piece?
Oh, yeah. Baby is asleep. Well, at least as far as I know. I haven't checked my phone.
There could be a big party going on over there. You don't
know. That's a good point. But I'm good to miss it.
Folks, for patrons, you're going to get another little discussion between Jess and me. Maybe Carl will jump in, have something to say. For everybody else, you can join at patreon.com/thehighlandsbunker, $5, $10 a month. You're going to start getting some cool bonus stuff, too. So think about that. Think about it.
It's worth it. It's $5.
$5.
Less than your taxes.
I know. And we haven't even raised the rates on Patreon. And I can tell you, we're not raising. We had a discussion before this recording session. We will not be raising the ticket prices for the Delaware Call Fall Classic.
All right.
Because we understand this is a rough time because of the tax reassessment, and we're not gonna pass that along to our loyal.
You're not passing the tariffs along.
Correct. We're pulling them back. Left is best.